sit back, relax, and raise a glass. For spirits coming from the past, sip on salt while your skin crawls with your pre-haunting wolf having a ball. Troop was home at Washington Pool with guests and spirits in your favorite pools. Gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, crack open the can and fill to the top. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, this is your podcast and it's called Hogs and Hogs.
Oh, that was amazing. No matter where you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is Haunts and Hops, where the podcast that covers all things paranormal while delightfully devouring delicious craft beer from all over the country. Thanks to our sponsor, Tavour. Follow at T-A-V-O-U-R. And of course, follow us on social media at Haunts and Hops. Johnny LaQuasto here with you with a freshly cracked open beer. I'm at Jay Quasto on the socials. Let's get to the two stars of the show. She's a veteran paranormal investigator, former team member on Ghost Hunters, a wealth of knowledge, and she's wearing a sweet, sweet beanie. Follow her at Ashley Trobe and go at her, because she's the brilliant Ashley Trobe.
What's that Meister guy? I look like the Meister guy. What's that guy's name?
I have no idea who the Meister guy is, but you look adorbs.
I thought you and said Meisner. I was like, Meisner? We're going into...
Meisner? Fire something? Ow.
Okay.
You know which one it is, something.
You
whatever.
You look cute. You look cute.
Yeah, whoever you want to be, that's who you are.
I am a cockatiel.
As that's right. Yes, you are. And she is certified in paranormal investigation and cryptozoology, lifelong connection to the paranormal. Her one-woman show, 50 Shades of Mix, will be coming out real soon once again to the world. I want to say in the next week, perhaps?
March 24th, but close. It's almost here. It's almost here, you guys.
Same.
In the next 2.5 weeks, she is Anastasia Washington.
Hi, guys. It's arm day, so I brought a beer that's big enough for my arms.
Whoa. Good deal. Mm.
I was also going to say, as we record this, happy International Women's Day to my two queens.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're both doing the hair flip. I'm down. Yeah. Hey.
We just Kermit the Frog it.
That's what I was about to say. You definitely look like Kermit. I mean, in a way.
I heard a lot of cracking.
Like, I had to beg my partner today. I was just like, International Women's Day. And he's like, yeah, I identify as a woman. And I was like, but what about me? And he's like, you didn't tell me what you identify as, and I don't judge. So I'm not going to celebrate you till you say it. And I was like, oh, okay.
I had a confusion moment today because I was like trying to like, you know, call out people that, you know, like to celebrate women. And then I was like on social media and then I was like, one of my friends just became came out as non-binary. And I was like, I can't thank you or give you a shout out today. When is non-binary day? So I can,
well,
when is there non-gender conforming?
Was this person recognized as a woman for most of their life?
Yes.
So I think you could still say happy International Women's Day because being a woman got her to this point of self-reflection and discovery. How about that?
Whoa! Johnny with the gems. Mm-hmm.
Johnny with the gems. Are we the gems?
Sure. I've always wanted to be Gem in the Holograms. Let's go.
I'm so down to rename our podcast.
Okay.
Okay, let's start over.
That's right.
Johnny and the Gems. Everything. It's now Johnny and the Gems.
I was going to say Johnny with the Gems sounds like the name of a doo-wop group in the 60s.
We're in.
Yeah. We got one guy. Yeah, I'm the guy with a deep voice going dip, 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 dip. Like, I'm that guy.
I really thought you were going to be like Frankie Lyman, like the high voice, like, pretty well. Come on, have a beer.
Guys, nope. I cut myself. What did I do? Look.
Oh my God. You just drew blood.
I feel like either this is deja vu or this is the second time you've cut yourself on air.
I don't know what she did. By the way, I wish I could do that high voice. Not that talented, but I can go deep. And one of my bucket list items is to somehow be in an R&B group to where I could be the deep voice guy. Like, you know, the guy in Boys to Men or the guy in the Four Tops or the guy in the, I can't think of it. Whoever made Blue Moon. Tip of my tongue, but that guy. I want to be that guy.
You want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm. Won't happen. But anyways, what are we drinking? What are we drinking? Anastasia, go ahead.
I am drinking Deal with the Devil IPA from McLeod Ale.
Holy smokes.
It's real big. I think it's bigger than my head. Mm-hmm. It's about head size. That sounded gross. I'm going to taste it.
By the way, you said IPA?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and there's the face. Oh, there's the face. That is the bitter beer face if this was a 90s Budweiser commercial.
Anastasia, let me come over. I'll drink it for you.
Please drink it for me.
What ounces are we looking at? Is that a 22 or?
It's a 32.
Oh, God. Why would you open up a 32-ounce IPA with no one around? You know you're not going to drink half of that. Or a third.
I'll make brownies of it or something.
Okay.
Costa, I feel like you just don't know Anastasia that way. I've seen her drink a massive Stein for Oktoberfest in front of a bunch of white women.
Oh.
That threw food at us. We know
that
who
threw
you
food
are.
At us.
Oh, yeah. I remember them hoes.
Damn hoes. Yeah, no, I will chug it.
As you chug Zevia, stop it. Is that the Zevia ginger ale? Don't even. I know you.
Taking another sip. Well, I'm sure the McLeod IPA is delicious. Ashley, what do you got?
I cut myself.
I know.
That's not a good beer.
Yeah. How did
I'm drinking Artifacts. It's a brewing company. And where is it? I just bought it today. I've never had it before. It's in San Clemente.
Beautiful.
It is a 6.8%, 69. Nice. IBU. IPA. It's called Trigger Finger. It's shockingly delicious. I feel like I've overwhelmed myself over the last few months with hazies, and I wanted something a little more crisp, a little more dry, and this really hit the spot for me. So I'm actually really excited to be drinking this today.
And also, what are the odds that you would be drinking a beer called Trigger Finger when you are bleeding from your trigger finger?
I hate it, but it's true. God, look at that. It's terrible. It really hurts.
How?
It's really kind of sexy. I like it. I dig it.
Yeah. Also, I did my nails. Look at that.
But I do like a lot of horrible things. So
that's a fair point. Can you tell us how you made yourself bleed?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Was it spontaneous combustion?
I have a dermatophagia where I pick at my skin and I don't realize that I am doing it. It's a mental disorder. I also, by the way, I was recently diagnosed with OCD, and it's a part of the OCD spectrum.
Welcome to the club, baby.
Yes. And I don't realize it, but I'll be sitting here and I'll just have my fingers in my mouth and I have no idea until stuff like this happens. And it's been a problem for a few years to the point where I can't register my fingertips. So like I'd make a great serial killer, but nothing else in life. Oh. So I finally saw a doctor about it. And so I've been doing some medical stuff about it. But every once in a while, this happens again where like I don't realize that I'm chewing on my skin until it's too late. So that is the result of that. Don't do it.
Yeah. What's the condition?
I used to have
dermatophagia.
I used to have it when I was like a teenager. I would scratch my skin until it like, and it was like kind of like a form of my OCD, but also a form of like self-mutilation.
It's part of it though.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm just itchy. But it was like a psychological itch you couldn't scratch.
Well, yeah, like mental health is a part of it. You never know how it's going to go. Like the thing with the finger picking is I just don't realize I'm doing it until I feel it. And I'm like, oh, that's bad. So I haven't gone picking for like 3 or 4 days because I did my nails and I was so proud of myself. And
she
like,
hadn't gone picking.
Yeah. I mean, hey, one step at a time. I still pick my nose. So we're all doing something.
Ew. Yeah. Can I tell you what my dad told me about picking noses?
Please.
Okay, when I was a kid, to stop me from picking my nose, he told me that there was a little gnome that lived in your nose and that would bite your finger off if you put your finger up your nose.
Okay.
So, oh my god. Did he write teeth? Vagina dentata.
No, he didn't.
I feel like he did.
I think he died before the movie came out.
Well, you know, we could always go back and Google that, I guess.
No, when the movie came out.
Then after the movie came out, he came back as a turtle, as we all know. So,
and wrote the script.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'm in.
Exactly. So, of course, if you're enjoying a beer. Oh, yeah, I forgot my beer. I'm drinking Transient Artisan Ales. It is called the Hell's Lager. It's a 4.0. Okay. It's a 4%er. So that's the lightest beer I think I've had on the show so far. It's from Bridgman, Michigan, Transient Artisan Ales. It's actually just a beautiful lager. It's smooth, tasty enough, and I ain't going to complain on a Monday night that we're recording here. Tastes good. And if you want beer that tastes good, use our code with Tavor. Yeah, that's right. Oh. Use the code HAUNTS10, HAUNTS10. Get $10 off your first order with Tavor. Craft beer delivered right to yo dough.
What? That's amazing, Johnny. Thank you for that.
Well, we all did it together.
Sure. I just had beer and bled. I bled for the podcast.
And I also think that, what did you say before? Something about my fingers bleeding is a really solid beer name.
It is a good, can somebody give us a beer, like, you know, line so that we can, I don't know why I said line. That sounded like we're snorting it, but.
Well, I think
I haven't tried.
My fingers bleeding is a lager with a metallic taste.
Oh, yes. I like it. I like it. Pairs well with tacos.
Mm-hmm. It's got a copper finish. It is now time for the Supernatural Scoop. Here we are. Since it's International Women's Day, if you're listening, it was a couple days ago. Let's talk about women. Let's do a Supernatural Scoop story.
Let's talk about
women,
baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
Oh, what? So, this story combines, in a way, the paranormal with beer.
Okay.
Let's talk about how women used to dominate the beer industry way back in the day before they all got accused for being witches.
Yeah. Like, why that happened, though, Johnny? Why?
Well, look, I have no problem saying that men are trash. And once again, I apologize for the white men 600 years ago. Yep. That's our bad.
Fair enough.
Women, you know, they did things like brew beer. And we're talking up until the 1500s, women brewed everything. And that's when men started to feel insecure. Witch accusations started flowing in because brewing was really woman's work. From the Vikings to the Egyptians, women be brewing is what I'm trying to say.
Can we have a shirt that says women be brewing? Because I need that shirt.
Yo, I'm telling you, that'll sell, I think. Feel free to take it. Feel free to take it. We could get a logo made. Women be brewing with a couple of beers. I think it's great.
I love it.
It really will work. Anyway, there's a woman named Hildegard von Bingen who actually wrote about hops back in the 12th century and then added the hops to her beer recipe. So some are crediting her with maybe being the first person to really throw hops in there.
My first IPA, bitch.
That's right.
Making all the basic white men going, IPA, double, triple it, all in all.
She was really into beards.
But this is when things started to get a little bit wonky because back in the Middle Ages, you know, women would brew the beer, but they would wear tall, pointy hats so their customers could see them in the marketplace, right? And they transported the brews in cauldrons and they kept cats to keep mice away. You add the three of those up, what do they make you think of?
Me.
Witches.
Oh. Ashley, yes. Ashley.
Both?
Mm-hmm. Yes. They're one and the same.
Very much so. And that's essentially right around the time the fundamentalist religious movement started. And that's when men started accusing women. And fast forward to today, it's still, as you guys know, it's still dominated by men. 17% of craft breweries have a female CEO. That's 17%. And only 4% of craft breweries have a female brewmaster. 4%. That's one out of every 25 or so.
You see what they did to us? You see?
Yeah. Happy International Women's Day, everyone.
Did you hear they finally, in Salem, they actually finally put up a historical marker where the witch trials happened?
They hadn't already?
I think that happened a couple days ago. Let me look.
How did it take them this fucking long?
Well, they have a really creepy museum.
Huh?
They have a really creepy museum there. It's not creepy because, like, there's a haunting or anything. It's just, like, really old and they're, like, you know, that's creepy sometimes.
All of those things. I'd have to look it up, but what I was reading earlier today was that they finally put up a historical marker to show where this all happened, which is great in time for Women's Day. Thank God.
Blown away that hadn't been done many years ago.
Because nobody cared about witches or women or any of that back then.
Sure.
But also, like, we haven't seen the changes in the industry that we're even just talking about, right? They were like the head of brewing, you know, they were a big deal, women were, and now we're still, you know, like, nothing has changed.
Well, let me ask you both, because you're both beer lovers. Do you feel like over time, women have kind of been conditioned to not even enjoy beer? Because if you think about the common, you know, the stereotypes, men love beer, women like wine. Now, I think gradually that's changing, but I feel like that's just the conditioning. And that's part of the reason why I feel like a lot of women have never even tried craft beer. I know some women who had never have, and I'm like, why?
I mean, for me, oh, go ahead.
No, please, Anastasia, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, for me, I think, yeah, I mean, my family, we were conditioned to kind of be like, women don't drink that. I'm the odd one. Like, now my sisters drink it more, but they started to drink it more, like, when their guy friend, to be one of the guy, you know, like, hanging with the guys, you know? Which, you know, like, that is a problem in itself, right? Like, yeah. I had, you know, I don't know, when you go out with your girlfriend sometimes, like, they're like, you're going to drink that bagel pint of stout? Yeah.
Stout, it tastes like soy sauce.
Yeah, and you're like, okay.
That, and they'll say things like, that's so much volume. I just want this vodka tonic.
And it makes me feel so big, you know, like, I don't want a beer gut.
I have to say, like, as somebody who's been in several beer communities and literally groups, like local groups in counties, I would always hear the guys talking shit about the women, like, oh, well, this beer tastes like soy sauce, gross. And that was a real common thing that we had to deal with. No matter what we thought of the beer otherwise, it would be, oh, it tastes like soy sauce. So it's really interesting because most of the people that I know where I live currently that are into craft beer are women. There's a couple guys. But the majority of the people that I know that I love craft beer and will tell me and show me these new craft beers are women. And it's not to say that I don't hang out with men more, because I usually do. I just feel like these guys kind of just hit their momentum and maybe got bored. And these women are just like, it's our time to shine. Like, let's do this. So it's been really interesting to see the craft beer world shift from, like, a bunch of fucking white men to suddenly black owners, women owners, like everything else that isn't just white men running these companies and running these groups, which has been pretty exciting to see, even though they all still love IPAs. So sorry.
They do. But I will say that I think with, like, social media and all that, it's been easier to find your people. And I feel like that makes you feel less isolated and weird. Like, I've been part of a whiskey women's group for years now. And when I was starting to drink and stuff like that, I was like the weird one. Everybody wanted, like, you know, Zimas and shit. And I like Zima, but, like, you know, like, I also wanted to know about I wanted to know about flavor profiles and what things, you know, went with which, and I wanted to know about the, you know, where things came from and the history of why it was made. And then I was the nerd. So now I find fellow nerds. And so I think it's getting,
oh, that's how we met.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I found Ashley.
We all met, really. Yeah, exactly. We talk about Whiskey Club because of last week's episode when Roy Shockley was on. Mm-hmm. I went out and bought my first bottle of Uncle Nearest, and it is delicious. Yeah, it's amazing. And that's going to be my new go-to, I think. I got the 1856, but I'm going to get the 1884 next, but it's smooth as could be. It's fantastic.
Next time you're home, let me know, because I can get those both on a discount.
Hey now.
Well, don't say that because I'll be over.
Right. We're all gonna drink. I didn't say just him and I. We're all gonna drink.
That's right.
Yeah.
I get 30% off.
Oh, that's okay. That's definitely better than yes. Okay, we'll take
love
that.
Love it.
It just costs a flight from
okay.
Florida to California.
Flying out
tomorrow. That's all.
Well, you talk about how great it is the fact that, you know, breweries are becoming more diverse. It's just in general, diversity makes everything more interesting and better. And that's where more ideas mm-hmm. come from. That's more where more innovation comes from in any industry. That's why you need diversity. So when it comes to, and don't get me wrong, like there's a lot of brilliant brewers out there, a lot of brilliant breweries. There's a lot of very creative, but when you have different types of people coming in and being decision makers, that's only going to make the industry grow because
right.
I can't speak for women. I don't know what it's like. I can't speak to be a person of color. I don't know what it's like. So I'd rather see their point of view because it's going to make everything a lot stronger, I think, in the long run. So it's nice to see the gradual movement, you know?
Yeah.
That's one of the things we love about you, Quasto.
It's true. Yeah. That's what makes you Johnny of the Gems.
Shoobop, shoobop. Ooh. Let's talk about another. Well, this is weird. And I just read about, actually, no, I just saw a YouTube video about this. So I saw a video about things that are supposedly hidden in the Vatican or whatever. One of them being mm-hmm. this thing called the Chronovisor. I had never heard of this till you sent the article. And then I saw a YouTube video. It's this gimmick invented by an Italian priest and scientist named Pellegrino Ernetti. Supposedly it's in the Vatican and it reads electromagnetic radiation left by past events utilizing a cathode ray tube. What they're saying is with this thing, if it exists, they can see events from the past. And some believe that that's how they think they know how what Jesus looked like.
Here's the thing, though.
That's my response. I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I'm looking at the pictures of Jesus, and it just kind of tracks with all the stuff that they've been pushing for a number of years. Like thousands. And I don't know that I buy that.
Are you looking at the weird photo of him looking up?
Do you mean him looking like Obi-Wan Kenobi? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I'm looking at the, like the scene.
Yeah.
The photo. Yeah. I mean, I guess with the black and white photo of him looking up,
that was revealed maybe to be a fake.
Oh
yeah.
See, that's the one I was like, maybe like he would look like that. Like, maybe he would look like that. Not that that was an actual picture of him. Like, maybe. But, like, this whole, like, very white. This looks like a picture of a BBC production of some kind of Jesus film. And that's not history. Like, that's not historically accurate. Why was this group of very British white people?
And secondly, if Homeboy really invented something this incredible, look, I was raised Catholic. I don't feel guilty saying this. The Catholic Church is all about making money. You're telling me this guy would not try to patent this and sell it and get everyone to buy it? No, he's going to do the right thing and hide it in the Vatican. And we just want to go back and look at the picture frames of Jesus. It's like, nah, come on.
The right thing, though? Why would it be the right thing to hide it in the Vatican instead of maybe, I don't know, using this technology to, I don't know, show us the most important moments in world history, or maybe be able to stop, you know, I don't know, learn from things.
Along with that, they also say in the Vatican, they also might have the familial background or ethnicity, if you will, of Jesus, but they will never reveal it because therefore they don't want any human beings to be able to lay claim to being like, yo, you know who my ancient second, third, ninth cousin is? JC.
Oh, so we can be related to Genghis Khan left and right, but we can't get Jesus. All right.
Go ahead, Ash.
Fun fact, I'm related to Princess Diana.
You're a royal.
Okay. That's pretty fitting considering the Oprah interview with Meghan and Harry. Harry.
Yeah. I mean, they were talking about your family.
Mm-hmm. That was a lot to watch. That was really painful because, like, I mean, bless Meghan Markle, what she went through and what she's been going through, obviously, as a woman of color in general, but now have to deal with, like, a nation, an international wide press with a family that isn't supporting you, that I can't even imagine mm-hmm. what that would be like. That's going to be a lot.
And it makes you really think even more so that what happened with Diana was not an accident.
It was never an accident. No, yeah. that I know it's a conspiracy theory for me. Maybe it's a family thing, but I don't think it was an accident. I think it was deliberately planned. She was.
Do you remember when it happened? Oh my God. Oh, yeah. I remember watching it on TV.
Yeah.
Just like as it was unfolding, I was just like that one. And I remember when Kennedy Jr. Oh my God, John F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh, the plane crash.
The plane. I remember that. And I remember when he was still missing and I don't know how old I was. I was just like, he's dead. Like, I just like, I was like, he's dead. And like Princess Diana, for some reason, like I was like, oh no, she's alive. Like for me. And then, It was so devastating. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was something that legitimately wrecked my mother when we were, you know, when I was younger. That might have been the beginning of her decline in mental health because like that really, really hit her in a different way. And I remember that's kind of when her conspiracy theories started becoming a big thing because obviously, Diana's death was a big conspiracy theory. And it was not too long after that that she kind of fell down that loophole, which I get. Like, I understand family, whatever. It's very difficult. But that's when kind of everything started to tweak a little bit.
And not to try to find a transition into, but there have been stories about Diana's spirit appearing, I believe, over the last couple of decades, which, you know, last week we talked about celebrity ghosts. We didn't get to a lot of our favorite ones in LA. But
I think,
you know,
we'll have to do another episode of them all together.
Yeah. Cause there's a couple that are really cool, but we, you know, you had a great idea that, you know, since all this news about the royal family, why not talk about the ghosts of London, some ghosts in the UK, because there is quite a history over there.
So, Windsor Castle, has a lot of ghosts, including King Henry VIII, King George III, and Guard. But the most familiar to Queen Elizabeth would be her mom, who apparently roams the library in her heels. So apparently you can hear the clickety-clack of her heels in the library.
Fantastic. Love right? that.
So that's pretty cool. I don't know. Did you want to say one of yours?
Sure. One of them, I enjoy this one. Father Benedictus. He's a monk who wanders around the cathedral at Westminster Abbey. And essentially, he's appeared to many people over the past 100 years, but very pleasant. You know, he's, as a matter of fact, there's one couple who said they were lost in the cathedral and they were approached by a friendly monk who guided them in the correct direction and guided them out of the cathedral. And the next day they went back to thank him, and they were talking to someone who's working at the cathedral, and they said, yes, there's a very nice monk gentleman who was kind enough to let us out of the cathedral. And they said, there has not been a monk here in decades.
Wow. And this is which palace?
This is the cathedral at Westminster Abbey.
Oh, I've actually been to Westminster Abbey. That was,
yeah.
I mean, these structures are insane.
I feel like as a person, I just want someone, a male friend of mine, to be willing to give his phone number out when dudes ask me out at the bar and be like, this isn't funny. She died 20 years ago today. Like, that's what I think of when I hear stuff like that. Like,
Do you remember how they used to have the rejection hotline? Like, where you could give out the number and it would, like, reject the guy for it? Maybe you should come up with that version.
No, you know what dudes do now is if you give them a number at the bar, they call it right away, which is terrible. Oh. And I hate it.
Or they text, I would imagine.
I just go, my phone's dead. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm gay.
Or I just say no.
But
I would like to be the voice of the rejection hotline. That'd be fun.
Right? You should wait. Do that.
Can you record the voicemail for my rejection hotline?
Yes. Yes. You have reached Ashley's rejection hotline. Her orange ass hair wants nothing to do with your punk ass. Walk away. Something like that.
You have been ghosted. Boop, 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 boop,
boop. Who are you going to call? Not Ashley.
Not Ashley. Hey. Yes, I love it. I love it.
Ash, do you have any London ghosts?
No.
Okay, well, fucking A.
Cool. I have one from Buckingham Palace. Speaking of monks, this is why I was like, where was that again? Because I thought I was going to actually tell the same one, but I'm not. Because Buckingham Palace has an enchained monk that is said to haunt the rear terrace of the structure. It is because the residence was formerly a monastery. Also, that does not explain why there'd be somebody chained, but okay.
Wait, somebody can just haunt my rear palace? Like, that's an option?
Yeah, I said rear terrace, but sure, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My rear terrace. I'll take that, too.
Okay. So, also, apparently, another haunting in the Buckingham Palace is King Edward VII's private secretary, Major John Gwynne, died by shooting himself after divorcing his wife in the residence.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a ghost for sure.
So he is also apparently there as well. Fun times, you guys.
Did she cheat on him? Like, is there a story to that?
Not that I know.
I mean, what's weird about that is back then, and this is being honest, I'm not trying to be like, too grim here, but back then, if you wanted to get rid of your wife, all you have to do is come up with a reason and they would behead them. Like, that's what all the royals did back in the day. They're all a bunch of dicks. They're like, oh, I'm tired of this wife. She talked back to me. And then the head would go. Like,
she beeth a witch.
she be brewing. My wife be brewing.
She do be brewing, though. She do be brewing.
I'm telling you, I already have it pictured. The design is going to be like the old school 70s lettering. You know, the kind of lettering that you would sew on, like you would patch on. Women be brewing. And then, maybe a couple of I don't know why I'm holding my
head. I'm not sure.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe a couple of mugs with some beer. There's something here. It's going to work.
There's something here. I think we're going to make like
limited edition versions where she do be brewing.
Witches be brewing.
Things be like that, though.
It'd be fantastic. I don't know. Enchained monk, that's very weird. That poor guy. My next ghost is the Red Lady of St. James Park. She is a headless specter. Mm-hmm. Yes, a very mysterious lady dressed up in red walking towards the lake. Legend says, and now I don't know how true this is. It probably isn't. Legend says she was beheaded. Well, speaking of beheading, she was beheaded by her husband. Oh. So she's walking towards the lake to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, but she's beheaded.
Supposedly he threw the head in the lake. And a lot of people, not a lot of people, but there's been multiple sightings where people would be freaked out by a headless woman in red.
Maybe she found Jeff the talking mongoose. I don't know.
That's possible.
I hope she did. I mean, that's also my favorite cryptid.
To be eternally trying to find your head, that sucks.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of Haunting a Bly Manor. A little bit.
That's what I was going to say. Thank you, Questo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. It's the Haunting a Bly Manor in my head.
Yeah. You know what? It makes you wonder if maybe that's where they got the story from. I don't know. It's possible.
Maybe.
We don't know.
You know, there's some British accent in there.
Well, those shows about possession are so interesting. I mean, I've been watching a few haunting TV shows lately. And there was this one I was watching that I was not expecting to take the possession turn. And I was like, oh, I thought it was just going to be a drama about a woman in love with a man who was in love with another woman. And no, it turned into something about possession. And I was like, ah, this is.
See, I always assume that every love story is going to turn into possession.
You are right. I messed up. I was just thinking about Jeff all day. I was so upset. So I really want us to do an episode about cryptids, and I really just want to talk about Jeff the Talking Mongoose.
I mean, we did do an episode on cryptids already, but that list that you guys found is more extensive and more ridiculous. And I think that's where that episode's going to differ, is cryptids part two will be more of a comedy romp with cryptids than anything else. And I
feel like every one of those has a good comedy aspect.
Yeah. We're just going to riff off of cryptids. That's coming up, you guys.
Yeah, get ready.
So I have one that's kind of sexy.
Please.
Okay. Balmoral Castle, which is in Scotland, is where the royal family spends their summer months, which is kind of funny because Scotland's cold as hell. But anyway. So there is a ghost named John Brown. He was a servant and friend of Queen Victoria, but some people say they fell in love.
Oh.
He can be seen throughout the corridors wearing his kilt.
Wow. And nothing else.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Sexy ghost time. Sexy ghost time.
And he also lost his head.
He doesn't have a head, but he has a kilt. No,
he doesn't have a head, but he has his other head.
Yep, one head's better than two. Wait.
Sure, it can be. Well, here's an interesting one. This gentleman, William Terrace, and this happened in the Covent Garden. So here's the deal. A place called Covent Garden, it became the burial ground of a convent. So essentially it became the place where a bunch of nuns were buried. So it's already haunted for many of those reasons. Hopefully not in a bad way, because they're a bunch of nuns and hopefully they all, you know, died happy or peaceful.
Have you ever met a happy nun?
Oh boy. Yes. I knew one as a kid. I knew one, but I've heard other rough ones. Yeah. So this guy, William Terrace, was a famous actor in the 19th century. And one night as he was, it was December 16th, 1897, as he was entering the theater, he, quote, felt someone slapping on my back, turned around and saw a colleague with a bloody knife and went back at him, and he did not survive. He was getting in with a friend in the theater, and the friend heard him say, "Who's slapping my back?" And he turned around. It was a guy, and the guy was caught. The guy was punished. But yes, he was essentially murdered outside the theater. So a lot of people have seen him, William Terrace.
Oh, well, mine's not going to be any happier. International Women's Day, right, you guys? Okay. Hampton Court Palace has a few spirits of Henry VIII's wives. The first would be Jane Seymour, which is his third wife, died at the palace after, I believe it was 72 hours of labor.
Oh, boy.
And she didn't die then. She gave birth to a son. And then died a couple weeks later because 72 hours of labor.
Yeah, right. And back then.
Yeah.
That's a lot
now. Huh?
I said even now.
Yeah, I mean, my mom, when she had my middle sister, she was in labor for like 24 hours and went to cardiac arrest. Whenever my sister is being really like weird, you can just say, well, you killed me. You know, his fifth wife is also there because she was beheaded for adultery.
I told Howard. You, all the kings would just behead their wives.
Yes. Yeah. And this is not his only wife that he beheaded. There's also I almost said Liza Minnelli. It's not right.
No, she still has her head, I believe. Wonderful voice. Wonderful voice.
But Buster doesn't have his hand.
Anyway, let's get back to Catherine Howard, because apparently it broke my brain. She was beheaded for adultery in 1542 when she was just 19 years old. Oh my God. And her ghost is very, this one kills me a little bit. Her ghost is apparently seen to be repeating the moment when she was arrested and she broke free and ran down the hall screaming and crying for mercy.
Oh my Lord. See this.
So that one hurts, man. It hurts.
It does. Yeah. This is what drives me nuts about the royals in the UK. Because I've been over there and I was getting the tours of the castles and everything. I got to be honest with you. I couldn't have been less interested in the royal history of the UK, because every one of these massive paintings with these dudes, they all had their wives beheaded for bullshit reasons. Like, why do I care about these dudes? I don't. Your socks look stupid and your outfits are dumb and you had your wives beheaded.
You don't want to hear about the Tower of London then, for sure.
I actually have a woman in the Tower of London. I have Arbella Stewart. Who do you have?
I have Anne Boleyn.
Go for it.
Anne Boleyn was the second wife of Henry VIII, and she was beheaded in 1536 on Tower Green, and her spirit is said to be right over her execution site. Unlike Catherine Howard, she was told, she was apparently very stoic and just asked for a certain way to be killed. So it would be nobler, and just kind of laid her head down.
Wow.
Yeah. Very tragic.
Yeah. This one is Arbella Stewart, also in the Tower of London. She was a distant cousin to Queen Elizabeth. She was imprisoned in the tower by her husband after trying to escape house arrest by dressing up like a man. So her husband put her on house arrest. She wanted to get out, dressed up like a man to try to do so. She was caught, and now she wanders around the Tower of London. She walks around the hallways and the rooms, and people claim they have actually seen her and experienced.
The Tower of London is a insane place. Also, when you say the Tower of London, in my very small view of the world before I went, thought it was literally a tower, right? But it's like a fortress, and there's all these different buildings. And in the Tower of London, also, there's these two little boys that were murdered, and they were kept there for years and months for just being eligible to be king one day and slaughtered in the time. I mean, there's just that place is, then you can go downstairs and there's torture devices. I mean, it's,
oh yeah.
Whoa. It's a lot.
There's a lot of sabotage in the royal families, especially like you mentioned with kids and stuff that. If so-and-so doesn't want so-and-so to get to that throne, then it's rough. It's gross.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, literally, there's so much there.
I feel like if people didn't believe it then, after all this history and what we have learned, if people don't believe it after the interview with Meghan, then they're just being ignorant deliberately. Because the things that they said to Meghan and Harry and everybody, that whole thing, they really legitimately were just well, how dark is his skin going to be? They asked that. They really wanted to know, and they gave him no title because of it and no security. There's so much more to it than people think about.
There's a lot of them out there that are just obsessed with the royal family and all things royal. And it's number one, it's really odd to put people on a pedestal like that when you see the kind of shit that goes on. You know, it's like you look at, I think it's great if people are, whether they believe in religion or whether they don't, or whether they're, I don't care, but you can't deny the hypocrisy in many religions over the centuries.
Oh, yeah.
It's very similar. There's hypocrites everywhere. And so especially, this is 2021, this shit shouldn't be happening. And you got a couple on TV that got excommunicated.
Yeah. I mean, I think the problem is that so many of these different institutions, whether it be religion, whether it be royalty, whatever, they try to stay stagnant. They don't try to grow with society or grow with just in general, we are supposed to do better and know better and grow as a society more than the society before us. And none of these, all the other, the organizations are no, we're still stopped here. And it's you gotta kind of gotta kind of move along, dude.
See, yeah. I just feel like a lot of the paranormal community doesn't agree with that. And I don't mean that like we don't. I just mean that in the last several years, I have realized that a lot of the paranormal community has very strong opinions about things. And I don't think they're willing to change their mind about that religious aspect or whatever it may be. And it's been really interesting because I'm learning a lot about the difference between their very religious beliefs versus somebody else's like scientific beliefs.
Right.
Versus somebody else being like, I'm just a weekend warrior. I want to enjoy this. So it's been really interesting in the last few years to kind of learn about that.
Well, I think like as paranormal investigators, we have to separate our personal beliefs from the investigation. And that's hard. That's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's hard because like I get feelings and I have my own spiritual, like, you know, feelings and whatever. And there's a part of me that's like, ooh, I want this to affirm all my feelings. But then at the same time, that is not a scientific way of going about things or proving things or investigating anything. So I understand the pull, but we must separate it.
which is ironic that Ashley, you know, obviously has noticed that, because to me, I don't see how you could be part of the paranormal field or world, if you will, if you weren't open-minded.
Right.
So it's kind of very odd. But yeah.
I thought that for a long time. But after this whole Trump presidency and all that stuff happening, over the last few months, I have noticed that a lot of people that I loved, I've been friends with, I've investigated with for over 10 years, people that I really, truly trusted and loved, were hardcore MAGA fans, and I had no idea. And that's one of the things that a couple of the other investigators in the field and I have been talking about, is we didn't realize how many of the paranormal happen to actually be right wing. And in my head, I'm just like, so you believe in ghosts, but you don't believe in white privilege? Like, like what?
But that's a spiritual, like, but that's a spiritual, like they can justify it. And I mean, I obviously I'm not like that. And but I feel like they can justify it by saying through spiritual and religious beliefs. And
so it's spiritual though. Like if I say that I'm in the Church of Satan, I'm in the Satanic Temple, whatever, they're going to say the same thing though. Like they're going to try to fight it. Like, oh, this is my religion. No, it's bad. Like that's one of the hard things about it that I've been struggling with.
So. I get it.
Could imagine. And well, it's an odd world and there's going to be all types. And I don't even know how to transition to end the show. So I'm just going to say
it's a six-head world.
That's right. It's a six-head world. Doop, doop. Anyways. Anastasia, tell people about you.
Oh, well, you can find me at Anastasia W on Twitter, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram, Anastasia TV on YouTube, and Anastasia W on TikTok. I'm doing things on there, including giving you comedic advice. So get on the tick of the talk.
That's right. Hey, Ashley.
Ashley Strobe. That's it.
Boom. If you would like to tell us about your paranormal experience, it's real simple. Call 818-660-6191. That's 818-660-6191. Tell us your story. Tell us your experience. We will play it on the show. We would love to hear it from you. And, of course, use the code HAUNTS10 for $10 off your first Tavor order. We are at Haunts and Hops on social media. I'm at Jay Quasto. And go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to plug also our former guest on our show, Spook Eats, has The Feminine Macabre coming out on Amazon. It came out today, so you can buy it on Amazon. And you may recognize somebody in there. I wrote a piece called Ghost Like Me, a Not-So-Ghostly White Tale, talking about BIPOCs of color in paranormal. So check it out. And that's all. That's all. Sorry.
Yes. Very, very great to hear that. And other than that, let's use the code HAUNTS10 for Tavor at Haunts and Hops on social media. Rate us 5 stars. Write us a nice review. Tell a couple of friends about us. And with that said, it's time to say goodbye. Oh, wait, should we make the announcement about what's coming up in March or wait till next week?
I mean, we could say it's coming. We just can't say the date exactly.
Okay. But we'll go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. We are going to be at WonderCon online. So check out our panel. We can give you more details closer to the date, but we can definitely announce that we are a panel there.
So that's a panel.
It's a big move for the old Haunts and Hoppers.
Guys, we're a panini.
That's right. So get ready for WonderCon. It's coming. And every one of you Haunts and Hoppers out there, make sure you tune in. That's a new nickname for people who listen. Anyways, sure. Time to say goodbye.
Bye. We broke her.
She's laughing. She's laughing. I knew Haunts and Hoppers would get her. I knew Haunts and Hoppers would get her. Okay, bye, Haunts and Hoppers.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.